Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings to everybody out there. This is Prophet Calvin D. Ward, and I want to welcome you to another strategically prophetic radio show. I see the two callers I'm having you. I will click you in. I want to welcome everyone to the show here. And then today, the topic of the show is going to be false apostles, prophets, and ascension gifts, and false anointings in the spirit realm. And that's what we'll be talking about today. Prophet Gray, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're on air. Is Prophetess Archer there?
I'm here.
You can hear me? Can you guys hear me clearly?
Yeah, we hear you clearly. Sounds great.
Okay, awesome. Well, I want to welcome everyone to the show. Welcome you guys to the show. I want to thank you for being able to be the guest on today's show. For everybody who do not know who you are, I want you to tell everyone a little bit about yourselves, where you are, and your ministerial background, credentials, or experience, and then we'll get right into the show.
Okay, I'm not good at tooting my own horn, so
basically, well, let's toot it today. Get the tooting.
The Lord saved me basically on my 30th birthday, and it was kind of strange because no man laid hands on me, no one, you know, read me the sinner's prayer. I was kind of like Paul. I was at my Damascus Road. I was saved in the crack house. So my experience with Christ is that I truly know that there is a God. You don't have to have anybody come and tell me about Christ because I experienced him myself. And once I experienced him in the crack house with an addiction that I had for 12 years that I couldn't get rid of, I understood that there was greater works that God wanted me to do. So saved at 30 and basically, you know, learned of the word and began to minister because we're in a smaller church. So, I mean, I've operated in the role of deacon. I've operated in the role of a minister. My wife and I were both ordained last year as prophets, along with you, obviously, last June. But I've even operated as an armor bearer. So being in a small church, I see what the men and women of God go through. And having a heart for those men and women of God, God has allowed me, each one of the leaders I've been under, to be close to that leader and also glean as much as I possibly can from those leaders, which is
Let me ask you this. I want to ask you, because you've been prophetic, let's talk about that a little bit of background on that. Now, as prophets, I know you and your wife have a prophetic anointing, but as prophets, let's talk about being found, because like you said, being ordained last year, but were you operating in a prophetic anointing before anyone ever formally recognized that? So let's talk about that too, because there are people out there, because we're talking about false apostles and prophets and stuff. Let's talk about that a little bit. Were you operating in a prophetic anointing, both you and your wife, before you got ordained? Yes or no? And if you were, let's talk a little bit about how that affects the call.
Yes, I was. I don't know, my wife, I'm kind of hogging up everything. Yes, I was. I remember in a conference with my apostle at the time, and I remember looking at the speaker, and I'm like, you know, she's been sick. You know, it was a word of knowledge, understanding what she went through. And just some prophetic counseling that we had done, even with married couples, God would give us a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and even just the ability to intercede for people prophetically. That was something that happened even before the actual ordination came. That's my situation. I'll have my wife begin to, you know, glean a little bit on what she's had in her life.
The same exact situation is that before I was even ordained as a prophetess, God would always speak through me anyway. Everything that pretty much what's coming out my mouth was prophetic. I had no idea about certain situations, and God would just give me a word for people. So I would say definitely it was before I became a prophetess that I already knew that this call was on my life.
Okay, and that's awesome. Now, And the reason I ask that, because, see, we're in a day and an age, and I'm going to talk for a little bit here, because we're in a day and an age, and again, the title of this show is False Prophets. I keep saying false prophets. False apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. We know that in the church, we have called those the fivefold ministry gifts. Where we got the terminology fivefold ministry gifts, I do not know, but they're better called the ascension gifts. But what we have today, and we were talking about this earlier, is we have a lot of people today, and I think you mentioned, you said you don't even know if there are any lay members anymore, because every time you turn around, and all across Facebook, MySpace, everybody is an apostle, everybody is a prophet. So are there any lay members? And I'm, you know, do we have any ushers? Is there anybody on the choir? Or is everybody just on the pulpit when you go to church?
Can I just add to that? The one thing I did know, when God saved me, I knew that there was a call upon my life. But the one thing I was always taught, too much is given, much is required. So I didn't label myself. The Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. So
hey,
the
Prophet
gift,
Greg, can I interrupt?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Sorry, can I interrupt you? Are you on an internet phone? It's cutting in a little bit. I don't know if you can hear me clearly. Am I cutting out?
You are cutting in and out here and there. The phone we're on is a landline, so I don't know if it's your connection or ours, but
so
how does this sound?
Okay. This sounds clear. Okay, let's continue. So it's probably this net here. It's probably the connection. Okay, let's continue. Go ahead. Sorry about that. Let's go.
Wonderful. What I was saying, the Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Even before, you know, the actual ordination came, there was a recognizing of the gift that was upon my life. And I was so serious about this thing, you know, I didn't want to step out before my time. Do you know what I mean? Because
exactly.
The gift was there, but I didn't go out and dip myself in the water. You ever seen that movie Apostle? The Apostle where the brother goes into the water and baptizes himself, and he comes up and calls himself an apostle? I mean, these are the things that we're seeing these days. I mean, you saved I think we talked about this. You saved at breakfast. You're preaching at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You
uh-huh.
got a church at dinner, and you
well,
are worship by not by bedtime. I mean,
you know?
Lord have mercy.
Well,
help
you know,
us.
And that's what we're in today. And I'm gonna talk a little bit to anybody listening. But that's where we're at today. Because see, this is why we wanted to just discuss this. Because one of the things that people need to know is the spirit realm is a whole nother world. And what's happening today is a whole lot of people are being saved and they're being brought into the church, but they're not being taught spirituality. And so what tends to happen is you get a whole bunch of people in the church who are in the church as part of a social group or a social club. You know, much like Masons or Eastern Stars, they join this stuff like it's a social club, and nobody in here is spiritual. So you're still smoking, you're still drinking, you're still having sex, you're still doing whatever it is that you want to do, but you're not spiritual. So you can't control anything, you can't channel anything, you don't have power with God. We have a form of godliness, but we don't have the power. And so why might that be? And one of the questions is, you know, to people, there are certain qualifications to be an apostle. And, you know, one of those qualifications of being an apostle is having miracles, signs, and wonders to follow you. And that's one of those qualifications. It's not just planting churches. And so that's one thing we need to talk about, because a lot of people out there, people think just because you can go and plant a church somewhere that means you're an apostle, because you plant one church somewhere or you go overseas and you plant churches. Well, if that was the case, we can go get and Bill Gates, who are businessmen, and they got billions of dollars, and they can go plant some churches and call themselves an apostle if that was the case. That's just not the case. There is a divine, supernatural anointing on your life if you are called to the office of an apostle. And Paul used to say that he said he was off in fasting, and that was where he had access to that power. And today, we have people who are calling themselves apostles, and you barely have 10 members in your church. And you can't even pray away a headache, and you yourself don't even have a prayer life. So we have people calling themselves apostles and prophets, and these are the things. And actually, those are things and issues that are wrong with that, because when you talk about the spirit realm, if you are an apostle and you call yourself an apostle, what you do subliminally, you send out subliminal messages subconsciously. I want to say you release them in the spirit realm, and you attract to yourself the spiritual warfare that is connected to that gift.
Yes.
An apostle, And what's wrong with that is, I want you to expound on this when I finish, because I want to know, what do you think about that? Because what's wrong with that picture is, in the spirit realm, is I get up today, okay, I want to be an apostle, because, see, we have a lot of females today in this, they're caught up in this little mold where they feel they have to be this, that, and the other. And, you know, today they're a minister, tomorrow they're an evangelist, and by next week, you know, they're an apostle. And so they just want every title that they can get. But the thing is, today you call yourself an apostle, and then you get tore up like the seven sons of Sceva. But you get tore up because you're attracting warfare to yourself of an apostle when you are not even, you haven't even been purged out to that level. And more than that, in the spirit realm, the angelic host and the demonic host do not recognize that level of authority on your life, because God has not declared that that's who you are. Which connects to the book of Revelations, where he said, I wish that you were hot or cold to the church of Laodicea, or I would kill you. He said, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth or spew you out of my mouth. And I remember a long time ago, Prophetess Anita Bynum mentioning something on that scripture that stuck with me, is that the revelation she got with that is that God said, I spew you out of my mouth, I have nothing more to say concerning you. So if I stop speaking about you, then you stop, or you cease to exist. So that's the last place that we want to be in God, is where God is not saying anything else concerning our lives coming from him, coming from his spirit. And I'll say this, and I'm gonna pass this up to you and your wife, because going back to the book of Genesis, in the beginning, as Archbishop Ron Ash would say, in the beginning God said. And on the second day, what God said on the first day, he was still speaking, because the Bible says that everything in existence is held up by the power of his word. So in day one, his word was still speaking when he spoke in day two. And in day two, his word was speaking. So God is always speaking. There's never a famine of word. There's all famine of the hearers of the word. So God is always speaking. Because if I stop speaking right now, everything in existence would cease to exist, because everything is a word from the Lord. So can you expound on that a little bit? Because that's one of the things I want to get into. People who call themselves this, but they don't realize that when you call yourself something, and there's a difference between the prophetic gifting, the spirit of prophecy, the prophetic gift, and the prophetic office. And that's what we need to expound on, too, when we leave from the apostle. But people need to understand that. So can you expound a little bit? I don't know if you have some examples of where we see in the scriptures where people step out of their bound, they step out of their realm of authority and try to step into another level of authority that heaven or hell does not recognize, because that's the worst place you want to be in. If heaven doesn't recognize that authority on you, then Satan is not either, because whatsoever is bound in heaven will be bound on earth, what is loosed in heaven, loosed in the earth. If it had been released in the heavens, it will be released in the earth realm. If it's not been released in the earth realm, it will not be released in the heaven. That's a spiritual principle. As above, so below, and reverse. Jesus said, I am born from above, not from beneath. So talk about that for a minute. And the severity of people walking in titles, and they don't have that authority in the spirit realm, and what that does down here in the earthly, terrestrial level.
You hit a classic example. Again, we had talked about this earlier, the seven sons of Sceva in Acts 19. They heard about Jesus or Paul casting out devils in Jesus' name, so without the authority that he carried, they thought they'd give it a try. Well, the Bible tells us that the demons within these folks said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And sent them running and ripped their clothes off, because they didn't have the power or the authority to even speak in that name. Now, that's a severe, I guess, a severe example, because we know as believers in Mark 16, it says that we would cast out devils, we lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. But that's just an example of someone trying to walk in an office or in a power or an authority that they really didn't have, and overstepping their bounds. And the consequences for them was detrimental, because they got the snot beat out of them. So
exactly.
That's an awesome example right there. And then we even talked about the one thing that stuck in my mind when you brought up this topic was in the eighth chapter of Acts, and it was Simon the Sorcerer, I believe, who wanted to even purchase the anointing because he saw that the signs and wonders that was wrought by the hands of the apostles. And the Bible says your money perish with you. because he tried to do something and tried to purchase something that there's a price to pay for it, and also there has to be a call because the apostle is a sent one. Now you can't send yourself.
Right.
God has to put that mantle of authority upon you and send you out. Does that make sense?
That makes sense because you hit something there, and you know what? Since you went there, that's a great passage of scripture that we often misquote. We often misquote. It's a passage of scripture in the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And that passage of scripture talks about, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Now, are you familiar with that scripture? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, go ahead and expound, brother. I'm going to let you hit that. Did you hear me?
Well, let's do that. Let's do that because, see, one of the things with that scripture is, and this is something we so skip over because in Christendom we love to quote scriptures, but one thing we don't understand, see, when you understand spirit realm, another thing about scriptures is you just can't quote this book. And I remember one day I was in the shower and I remember I was in my room, I used to have the names of God on the wall, and I used to quote the scriptures and speak the scriptures and declare the word. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, this is not a book of spells.
Jesus.
So he said, you're not going to quote this and think it's going to happen and you're not living anything. And then guess what? He took me to that story you went to, the book of Acts, the seventh son of Sceva, because when you use the name of Jesus and the spirit realm does not know you or recognize that authority, then guess what? Satan knows that you don't even have that authority either, because Satan himself is an archon. He's a power, a principality. He's a ruler. He has weight in the spirit realm. This is why we have to fast and purge and know that when we are called to a certain level, that has to be what God has called us to, because when you know you're called to that level, there's a level of authority that comes with that. If you are not in that level, Satan knows you're not operating in the level, and he knows the authority and the power that he has over your life. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, now I want y'all to get this, because I want, you know, if y'all listening in, I really want you to get this. Go to Romans chapter 10. Because I'm going to quote a scripture, and we quote this scripture. We speak this all the time, and I hear this. I hear this scripture all the time. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 10, and I want you to go to verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, in the King James, it should say something like, faith cometh by, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it continues to go out. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Now, we say, okay, but let's back a little bit. Now, if you back that up a little bit, because, see, we have to back up the scriptures a little bit. Let's start reading this from verse 14. Because it says, Now let's go back to 13. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm going to leave that all the way alone, but I get in trouble. Verse 14 says, how then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they've not heard? How can you call on somebody you haven't believed in? How can you believe in somebody you have not heard of? Then it says, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Here it goes. Here goes the prophet Gray. And how can they preach unless they are sent?
Sent. Mm-hmm.
So then, when we quote that scripture, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, no, 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 no. So then, it's a sent preached word. It's a word of God that you hear from somebody that's sent from God to get to you. That's going to increase your faith. It's not the person that got saved yesterday and called themselves an apostle. They got saved on Monday, ordained on Tuesday, called themselves an apostle on Wednesday, had a church on Thursday, and now they want to go to Africa on missions on Friday. That's not talking about you. This is about somebody who God has called to preach the word, and that person going into the ends of the earth. That's what apostle means, as you said. It means a sent one. It's somebody who God has called and sent them out on a mission. And an apostle is a special messenger, because if you go back to Rome had apostles, and when we really understand what that word apostle means, then we can understand that when we use the word apostolic with the church operates in an apostolic anointing, which means we are operating in a sending out anointing. That means that right there is the key to why a lot of churches are not growing, because they're not operating from a send out mentality. They're operating from a let's grow ourselves as big as we can get and feed ourselves and give me mentality. And with the apostolic anointing, we have to go out. And we have that word from the Romans. Rome, the Caesar of Rome had what he called apostles. And when he sent out an apostle to another country, when that apostle or that messenger got to that other country, when he set foot in that country, he had all the power that Caesar had in Rome, that messenger had when he stepped into that other country. So if we was to take that over to the spiritual realm, Christ, all the power that Christ has, all of his authority, his power that he has when he was here on the earth, that same authority is in apostles. What does that mean? That means an apostle can go to a foreign land and they can make commandments. They can issue out commandments in the spirit realm for that region, for that area, by the Spirit of the Lord. And that is one of the special abilities that true God-sent apostles have, because when they're ministering this word to foreign nations and foreign lands, there are things that are going on, and they have to take the temperature in the spirit realm to see what's going on, and they have to say, you can't do this, you can't do that, don't do this, don't do that. They have to set commandments and barriers so that the gospel can be preached, that the people might be saved, and then the miracle signs and wonders follow, backing up that what they said was for real.
Right, and I definitely agree with you there, but a lot of the reason that we're getting these false apostles, false prophets, is that the lay members, the people of God, I talked about Mark 16. In Mark 16, in Mark 16, it basically says that you would lay hands on the sick, they would recover, we would cast out devils. But he wasn't talking to just apostles, just prophets, just pastors, just teachers. That was for everybody. Now, the reason part of the reason, I believe, that these people are being elevated, because there may be some sign that the regular lay member should be walking in. So, you can cast out a devil. Guess what? We all supposed to cast out devils. So just because you show some semblance of a spiritual gift, which we all should operate in, okay, they must be an apostle. They must be a prophet. So you got the blind leading the blind, brother.
But see, that's the thing, though. That's why it needs to be fine-tuned. And it's so much confusion. It's like the book of Corinthians. That's why Paul spoke so boldly, because he said, hold up. Do we all speak in tongues? Do we all do this? Paul had to make some bold, dogmatic statements, because Paul, when he spoke, he was like, okay, this is what I'm saying. This is where I'm coming from, and that's it. Is there any gray area in that? It's like he spoke it very declaratively, very boldly, but it's like the Church of Corinthians. They had all these gifts, and there was had to be some order there. But like you said, if we are all in the church and we are all operating in it, the order of the day is, what are the signs of a true apostle? It can, based off of what you just said, it cannot just be you can cast out a demon, you speak in tongues, you can translate tongues, you can edify, you can prophesy. It can't just be that. And see, when you read the Bible, the miracle signs and wonders, Prophet Gray, was what the apostle had. Paul,
yes,
that
sir.
Was what he had. He taught, and the persecutions that came along with it. An apostle is a trailblazer. An apostle does stuff and goes places that nobody else goes. An apostle does that. And those miracle signs and wonders have to back him, because God sends him into territory where the gospel has, here's the key, an apostle goes to territory where the gospel has never been preached. And that's one of the things I don't understand in this day in the United States. We have an apostle down the road, an apostle up the street, one next door. We have one by 7-Eleven. There's one by Walgreens. There's one by Woolworth. There is an apostle everywhere we go. And now, probably, let's not talk about Facebook and MySpace, because we just got, every time you turn around, apostle this, apostle that, apostle this. And you're looking at people, see, and you know just as much as I know. If you are in the anointing wears, you wear the anointing like a garment. And you can see the grace of God upon somebody. Now, some of these people that are even calling themselves apostles don't even have an anointing to even cover their own person or persona. They're looking all, that's a touchy area. But when you look at people, you can see the anointing in the, you can see the anointing on people when you see them. If you know, if you have any iota of a discerning spirit, you can pick up people's authority in the spirit when you meet them. Because, and like you said, that's another thing about the church members. Why am I going to walk up to somebody? Why am I going to sit under a pastor when my anointing supersedes his? Now, see, that now that right there.
Ooh.
You know, ooh. Why would, I mean, now you, I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. Why would you and your wife, why would you and your wife go sit under another man or woman of God when the anointing or grace of God on your life supersedes theirs?
Now, one thing I do have to say, as you're trained, and as you grow in the Lord, you should be greater than I guess your mentor. That I do say, but that's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, the Bible tells us greater works will do because Jesus went on to the Father. So as we're discipled and as we're mentored and as we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do believe that we should do greater works. I do believe that. But the question you just asked, I don't even have an answer for you.
But see, you know what? You just hit something, too. You just hit something. You said it, mentorship. Now, let us think about this for a minute, because Jesus said, greater works shall do when he goes to the Father. But here it is, the apostolic veil anointing on the church. We're supposed to be a sending church. So Christ empowered us, and then he left, and he left us with the mission, the power, the ability to do what he did. Here it goes. Christ was not a micromanager. He anointed us, and he sent us out. And so what we have today in churches is you have a bunch of churches who are not operating in a true apostolic anointing, so you have a house full of people who are spiritually obese, full of anointing, full of gifts and talents, and because there's not a leader or someone there to recognize that, or someone who is not secure enough in themselves to send them out to start ministry, they keep them in the house and try to keep them to themselves. So what you have is people full of the anointing, and they begin to turn on themselves.
Or you turn into that situation where, Jesus, Hebrews, the fifth chapter, I believe, when, and I'm paraphrasing, when you should be teachers, you need someone else to teach you. You're still on milk instead of on strong meat. And that, because you've been babied for so long, you've been spoon fed for so long, you come to a place of stagnation and can't grow. I see that quite a bit.
You know, and that's one of the things that's really, and that's what happens when you have someone who calls themselves an apostle and they don't have the spiritual leadership to say, you know what, you know, if you're a leader and you have a church, you know what, and you are leading your people and you are teaching them, if you are doing what God has told you to do, release them. I don't care if you teach somebody and you ordain them and then they leave the next day. Good, guess what? If you know and have enough in character and integrity that, look, I trained them right, I wouldn't have ordained them if they were not ready, then Father, bless them. Let them go do ministry if they need help back. But see, we don't have enough leaders who were not discipled themselves. I remember Archbishop Aaron Ayers used to tell us, he said, everybody wants to father, but they don't want to be fathered. Everybody Jesus. Wants to be in charge, but they don't want to be under. And see, that's one of the issues, because we have people who are 26 years old now calling themselves bishops. We have people, you know, you see it on YouTube, 10 years old, 12 years old, they preaching for entertainment. You know, they're preaching for entertainment, not because there's a calling on their life to do it. They're preaching because, oh, it's cute, and he know these scriptures, and that just looks so cute, and he can really preach. Let's put him on YouTube. And see, we have blasphemed the holy office, but there's a price when we take the anointing for granted, and we don't take these offices to be holy places where the oracles of God can come forth and come from amongst the spirit realm.
That's good, brother. That is good. I just think back when you said that there's a cost or there's a price. In Jeremiah 23, the Bible says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," saith the Lord. And I mean, we can take that for a lot of things, but in this time, in this day and hour, Paul even talked about people would heap together teachers having itching ears. So at this point, those pastors aren't true pastors. So they're not feeding the sheep as they should. They're not leading the sheep in the right direction. So they're scattering the flock. So there's a cost that they're gonna have to pay for that. Do you know what I mean?
And
the Bible says,
you know what?
Much is required. So it's not something that we should take lightly. And it seems like in this last days, and my wife and I, we kind of kid about this, but if we didn't know who we were in Christ, it may have been discouraging. I mean, I really got my first, you know, title. Well, I take that back. I was a deacon and I was a minister, never got to the point of ordination. But the first time I was ordained was last year. Been operating in the in the ministry, paying the price for over 11 years. You know what?
The understanding that I
didn't want to jump out before my time. I wanted to be groomed, but I wanted God to do that work that he needed to do inside of me. You said something powerful. One thing about Paul, when he was called, it was 3 days he was without his sight. And then God sent a man, Ananias, and the Bible says to show how great a thing that you would suffer for Christ.
Now can I say something on that? Because now this is getting good, because see the revelation. See, that's another thing, if people are listening out there, see, now we talked about the apostle, one of the character qualities that really sets them off, that miracle sign, those miracle signs and wonders and the trailblazing and preaching the gospel in areas that it hasn't been preached. Now let's talk about the prophet, because see, when you said that, we're sitting here talking and a lot of revelation is coming, because when you said that about Ananias, and that's something under that. See, Paul himself was taught by some of the best. And he could speak a lot of languages, and I mean, he was taught by the best. But see, when it was time for God to do what he wanted to do with him, and he got those scales on his eyes, okay, God said, well, you and your great self. God didn't send him to Bishop Jakes. God didn't send him back to Gamaliel. God didn't send him to the Sadducees, Pharisees, or to one of these guys. God said, I'm going to tell you, go down the street, round the corner, to this man who's somebody to me, but to you, he's a nobody. But he's somebody, he is found already in power in God, and he has power with me. You're going to go over there to him, and he's going to lay his hands on you, and you're going to get your deliverance. God didn't send him to somebody with a big name. And see, that's prophetic for this day and age, because everybody's looking for the anointing or a word from the Lord or whatever it is for somebody that has a big name. And today, you know, that's not saying a lot with the whole lot of stuff that's going on, but we pray for our men and women of God. But you need to look for the voice of the Lord, whatever the voice of the Lord may be. And what are the signs of that? And bringing that back into the prophetic. You know, what marks a prophet? You know, we have people now because they operate in the spirit. There have been sometimes I've been in services and I felt the spirit of prophecy descend. And then when I felt the spirit of prophecy hit the house, I would prophesy as the Lord permitted and as the leadership permitted. You know, you let somebody know, look, I got a word, or this, that, and the other. And there were times, if you're ministering, that the prophetic in you, because it's a gifting, so people can worship. And I tell people that all the time. If you want to get the prophetic word, that's why I don't even say nothing. If a people really understand a prophet, then when you come, they wouldn't just do, they just have 10 or 15 minutes of praise and worship and say, oh, we're going to hear it. They would worship and tap into the presence of God, and you'd get prophecy for the next hour.
My God.
If they tap into the worship, then when you tap into the worship, you want a prophet to prophesy. You are worshiping. And that prophet has no – you start worshiping, and then the prophet gets immersed in that worship, and he or she will release that prophetic word, because that word, it just flows. It's a flowing thing. And then, you know, prophet, there have been times – the more people – I was talking to somebody the other day. More people – now, people in the church, I've given out more prophetic words to people that I've just had conversations on the phone with who call me business people, businessmen. We're just having a conversation, word of the Lord. And I just say, you know what? I see this, that, and the other. And you know what? And God is going to do this for you and your business. And I see this. And I don't know who this is. And it will just come. I couldn't just say, I ain't going to prophesy to you because you ain't saved. And see, I just said something right there because we think we just prophesy to people that are saved. Now, we just walk around. And that thing I found as a prophet, God has used me as a prophet more so to speak to people in the world, because people think that they're worthy enough to receive a word from the Lord. But God is searching them down. And that's why he sends the prophet to them. And we help to perfect the church as teachers, as anointed teachers, and we warn the church, and we admonish the church. And we do the same thing for the world. But our gifting serves to bring people into the body, by edification, by edifying them, by warning them, admonishment.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And we do speak to the future, but prophecy is not going to come to you to tell you, Lord have mercy, who you are going to marry.
Right. And you know what? It's funny you say that because you and I were actually in Chicago. I'm not going to mention where. Some brother came up to me and asked me that. Can you tell me the future? And had the nerve to ask me about a wife. I'm like, brother, I'm not the psychic network.
You know what I'm saying? Do you understand?
For that, bro. But anyway, you hit something that I just wanted to also expound on. Oh Jesus. I'm just thinking back to that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that was a mess.
Heard? Yes, he wanted Miss Cleo. He didn't really want to hear the true word of the Lord. The word of the Lord had for him was get saved, first of all. But anywho, let's leave that alone also. You said worship. Worship is all that God, it goes on around God 24 hours a day. He inhabits our praise. So if we begin to worship, we begin to praise, God's glory begins to come in. And when we're in the presence, the unadulterated Shekinah glory of God, he can speak clearly. And as you said, that prophecy will come through. But you said something else that was powerful. Now, we talk about tongues, but in Acts, the second chapter, when the Spirit of God fell and the tongues went forth, it wasn't for the believers, because there were devout men from all other nations. It was for them so
yes.
that they might believe. You know what I'm saying? So these gifts that God has given us, I mean, they are to edify the body. Don't get me wrong. But these gifts are also used to bring others into the body because they'll see the power of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter and the fourth verse, he said, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration and of the Spirit and power.
Right. Right.
So,
and you know what? Go ahead.
Go ahead, bro.
No, I just, you know what? And it's funny because sometimes when I'm preaching, I'll be talking to someone. They might not be saved because I don't even care. You know, I speak to the person's spirit. And so the word comes properly. I just edify people's spirit wherever, whoever. I don't even worry about whether they're saved or not. But some people that are in that apostate mode where when you're talking to them and you can tell they're pulling on your, I call them spiritual vampires because they're in and out and they know they should be in the church, but they're doing what they want to do. And so when I talk to them, you know, I have to catch myself and say, hold up. Because they tap into the prophetic anointing and I shut it down because I said, hold up. Because sometimes you'll get so used to pouring out your anointing oil out of that mold, and you forget that the fivefold ministry or the ascension gifts, the scripture says that those gifts were for the body, to edify the body. And so the world, like you just said, those gifts are used with the world to help bring them in, and that's the overflow of the gift.
Mm-hmm.
That's the overflow of the gift. We're using our gift for the world. When you're at work and folks, you know, folks come to you and stuff, they make words and, you know what I'm saying, and you're able to speak to people, listen to them, that stuff helps them. That's the overflow anointing because you're at work. You know, the original anointing is for the church, to edify the church. But while you're at work, that's that overflow bringing people in. But sometimes,
yes.
I'm saying, I notice with me is, what I do, I say, hold up, you ain't even saved. So let me stop trying to prophesy to you and let's go back to the first thing. Let's do this first, because you sitting up here trying to get a prophecy and you want to know this, that, and the other and get all deep. You ain't even saved yet. You know you need to come on over here and come on into Christ. So until you can commit to fully live a right life and stop dibbling and dabbling, don't come to me trying to ask me all the deep things of Christ, because the Bible says do not give or cast your pearls to what? To swine. But
yes,
they
sir.
Will do what? They will trample it underfoot. And that's one of the things that a lot of people are doing with the gift. You see people with the prophetic gifting on TV, and they're giving their gift. They're wasting it. And sometimes there's a measure of our gift, like you said. And I believe there's a measure of our gift that is for the world, but not the abundance of it. And we're just, you know, putting it out there. You know, they selling prophecies and all of this and all that. So since I hit there, let's go there. Because as a prophet, There is you can gain access to the spirit realm legally and illegally. If you gain access to the spirit realm and the powers of the spirit without going through Christ, then you got in illegally. The self same as a thief and a robber. If you have not came in through Christ, Christ is the door. So if you get access to those powers, you've gotten them through the soulless realm, and you've gotten them through another vehicle, which is called divination, and you are out of order. Now, I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 13, and then I want you to talk about that for a minute, because we want to talk about prophets that can find themselves in a psychic. Because one time I was at the altar, Prophet Gray, and I was praying for someone, and, you know, people start to move and shake and then start to fall out. And the Holy Ghost told me, he said something. He said, don't let these people get you in the psychic while you at this altar. Because what happens, they'll come up there, you know, you praying for them, and they start to shimmer and shake and ooh, and, you know, and you hit on it and this, that, and the other. No, you decree and declare what I'm telling you to say, and you go on about your business. Because, see, people will get up there while you praying for them. A demon will shake and jive and fall out so you won't cast it out. And what we do, as soon as somebody sees spiritual people, what we do, unspiritual people, as soon as somebody fall out, they leave them alone. Ooh, there it is. No. That ain't always there it is. That's, sometimes that's a fake demon. And you need to take your jacket off, get right down there on your knees, and cast that out.
I think my wife had, she wanted to add here, bro. We have just been going forth. We forgot we have a prophetess in the house.
You guys are doing
prophetess
real.
Prophetess Artra.
Yes,
prophetess
you guys.
Artra.
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
Can I read the scripture, and then I'm going to let you have full reign. I want you to go. We're going to talk about them false prophets, because I know you got something to say. You've been sitting in the cut.
All right.
I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 13 real quick, if we can do that, because anybody that's hearing, I want them to actually see this in scripture, because we're not just talking. The false prophets in the Old Testament, God, there were prophets who prophesied their own spirit, which means they did not prophesy from the spirit of Christ. In the Old Testament, the test of the prophet was whether the prophecy was accurate or not. In the New Testament, that's not the test, because a psychic can give you a prophecy. The test in the New Testament is from what spirit did that prophecy come forth. That's why the scripture says, try and test the spirits to see whether they are of God. So in Ezekiel chapter 13, we see right here in the scriptures, and I got the NIV version, but I'm going to read this. And the text in mine, it says, false prophets condemned. It says, for the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to them who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord is. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and see nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false and their divinations a lie. They say the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them. There you go, Prophet Gray. We talked about being sent. Yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. God said, I didn't even send them. And yet they expect what they say to come to pass. They really in delusion. He said, have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I am amongst you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the record of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Now, in the Old Testament, when you hear land of Israel, we need to equate that to the New Testament as kingdom of heaven. Then he says, then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord and prophetess Artra. The microphone is yours.
Amen. You guys are doing a really good job expounding on this topic. But what comes to my mind is that those that God ordained in these particular areas, he qualifies them for them. He instructs them throughout all this process, and the anointing that comes upon these individuals is definitely a God-sent anointing. It's not something that you can just name on your own and say, this is what I am. But God ordains this even before, say, the man of God, the apostle, whoever is ordaining you. God already ordained it before this person actually appoints you in that position.
Yes.
So many people are trying to put an anointing on themselves, and you guys have already said this, that they really don't have. And you have to be made in this walk with Christ as it is. I mean, you have to know your full authority. You have to really know the dominion that you have in order to be able to walk in these positions. You can't just, you know, give yourself a title or give yourself a label because, as you all already have said, you're going to be torn up in the spirit. The spirit realm is going to tear you up. The enemy is ready for you. So you really have to know that this is the call that God has given you. You can't just name what you want it to be because it sounds good, because you'll get all this recognition. That is, to me, that is not what God is requiring of us. These people that are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, mm-hmm. the teachers, and the pastors that God has ordained to edify the saints and to build the people of God, these are people that are saved, number one. They're Holy Ghost filled. They have the Spirit of God indwelling in them. They're also walking in signs and wonders, and they have the Word of God down inside of them. So if you're the kind of person that's saying, I am a prophet, but you know absolutely no word, how can you prophesy when you don't know the Word of God?
Now, Prophet is Artra. Now, you just opened up a whole can.
Prophet Ward, can we just add one thing before you do that? Just one thing. Hold that thought. But you keep saying ascension gifts, and just to clarify, the Bible says he who ascended first descended and gave gifts unto men, and then it lists those ascension gifts, just so we can clarify mm-hmm. that to the listeners.
Right, it said that he ascended. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. You can go to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to say verse 8 or 9 through 11. And you can see that there. But she said something that was so powerful. Did you have something else you wanted to say on the ascension gifts?
Go ahead.
No, we just wanted to clarify that, because I know, you know, some listening may not know where you're getting that terminology from. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, ascend, and that's what, and we're using the Bible to translate the Bible, and it says that he ascended on high and he gave gifts to men, and those were the gifts that he gave to men. So that's why we use that terminology. John Eckhart, Bishop Bill Hammond, we use that terminology. You said something that was so key. One of the things with prophets today is you see a whole lot of prophets. They want to be skilled in the rhema or the prophetic word, but they are not skilled in logos. They always want to tell you what to say, but if I ask you to preach Sunday school class, you cannot tell me what God has said. So that disqualifies you, because if you are not skilled in the logos, the written word, you just disqualified yourself to be able to be skilled in the rhema. And for someone to always want to prophesy and to rebuke or to reject the written word of God, you just disqualified yourself, and you are prophesying out of your own imagination. And there are a couple things that go with that, because, you know, if there are people that are listening, you have to watch that. I'm going to be quiet because I want to hear some more from Archer, from Prophet Archer, before I go, but I'm going to say this and I'm going to pass it back to you. But I just wanted to throw this out there for people that are listening, of anyone that is listening, you have to watch a prophetic anointing, because somebody can lay hands on you and transfer a mantle to you. And so you just don't let everybody lay hands on you. You need to know, did God call you to do that before you take up a prophetic mantle or a mantle from someone else? Because people can transfer an anointing to people. That's why you see some of these quote-unquote schools of the prophet. Schools of the prophet in the Old Testament, they were taught how to write. They were taught how to write, taught meter. Why? Because God speaks to you. You need to know how to convey it on paper, to convey it and put it on books so you can communicate that to future generations. They learned music. And what was it about music? So you can learn the timing of God. There's the chronos of God, and there's the kairos. Kairos are the seasons of God. You got to know how to give a word in due season. Everything that you hear is not the right season for you to release that word. And a word in due season is good, but if you can release a prophetic word in the wrong season, and it will be it will not have the effect as if you would have released it at the right season. Every word you get is not to be released. So you have to watch that in these schools of prophets, because knowing the timing of the Lord, those prophets were taught that you, now that you're hearing the Lord, you need to know when to release the word, when to pray, and what to do, and let God cultivate your anointing. And some of these schools of prophets, they're just transferring familiar spirits from one person to the next. This one prophesying, that prophesying, that. They're just prophesying a familiar spirit, and it's not the genuine office or call of God in the person's life that is warranting that. And so That's something that we really need to watch out for. And lastly, I want to say this in Providence, Arch. I'm going to pass it back to you so we can hear some more from you for any ladies that are out there, because we want to get a balance in the word from everybody, that as prophets, we are called to cry loud and spare not. Your chief purpose as a prophet is, at the end of the day, your purpose as a prophet is to turn the heart of the people back toward God. Prophecy, miracles, signs, and wonders are a means to an end. But at the end of the day, you better tell them what God has said, and it's not always going to be good. You know, God love you. God, I know God loves me. I know he's going to bless me. What is the Lord, what is wrong with my life so I can get it right, so I can go forward in him?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants a word of correction. Nobody wants to be rebuked. That's so that God, because in Hebrew, and I say in Hebrews that a son that he loved, he chastises. Ms. Archra, we have 10 minutes left.
Okay. I'm just going to add this, and you guys can finish off. But when you're prophesying to people, you are definitely hearing from God. These are not your words. And sometimes during the course of a prophecy, you are going to pause for a minute because God is downloading these words to you. You can reveal this to the person.
Yes.
So the reason why I can speak on a prophetess is because that's what I am, and that's how God speaks to me. This is the demonstrations that he has done with me, and I'm sure many others get the same thing. And, of course, you know, we also see things as well, and we are able to convey what we see to people. But here's the thing. While we're not in that realm of prophesying, we need to be reading our word. We need to be fasting. We need to be seeking the Lord.
Oh, God.
Things Jesus. So that God can constantly talk to us anyway.
Jesus.
And first and foremost, when you are a prophet, apostle, a teacher, a pastor, evangelist, you are under the governing of the Lord. God is the one that is governing your life. He is the one that's giving you the orders of what you need to be doing. And if you're not hearing those things, do this and do that, this is where I want you to be, and so forth and so on, you need to check yourself. If you're still swearing or cursing, saying bad words, four-letter words, and all these things, you need to go back and let God wash you all over again before you take on that mantle of the prophetic. Or being an apostle, being a prophet, whatever your title is, you need to have your life in order before you start speaking into lives of other people. Otherwise, you are speaking divination. So for anyone that has these calls on their lives or want to be named among the prophets, apostles, teachers, all these labels or titles, make sure your life is lining up with this word, with the word of God. Make sure your life is clean. Not saying we're not going to make mistakes and all these kinds of things, but we're not practicing sin. And those are the words that I want to leave. We do not practice sin. We're vessels of God, and so we're keeping our vessels pure and holy. We're not ingesting anything. We're not looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. I mean, this life is a sacred life. This is not something that we can just say, this is what I am.
Cut off,
but yet still, we're walking around doing all kinds of other things. We have to take this life serious.
Jesus.
It has
and
to
you
be
know
a
what?
Commitment. Go ahead.
And you know what? You said something that's one of the things the Lord is getting on me now in this season, because he said, you know what? I don't care if don't nobody know who you are. I called you to be a prophet, so you submit to me. And you need to keep yourself, and see, for me, it's fasting, because he said, you're a prophet. He said, that's your job. You are always on a fast. He said, as a prophet, you should always be on, and this is me. Now, this might not be to all of y'all. Now, this is going to be to me. I need to be on those 10-day, 21-day fast, and I need to build my spiritual inner man up to be able to go on the 30 and 40-day, because if he said, if I can't read the world through prophets, then in the world, who's telling them? Who's going to read them? And see, sometimes we don't want to take those sacrifices. Paul said, I was oft in fasting. And I, you know what, if you was getting to church right now and saying, when was the last time somebody fasted? I don't even want to know how many hands you would see raising up. And with leaders, I don't even want to know. Because fasting, you know, when we first got saved, I fasted 3 days, no food, 7 days. You know, we've been on a 21-day. But it seems like the more now at the point where I'm at right now, it's like, man, if I go on a fast, I really have to set my face like a flint and do this thing and say, look, I'm going to do this thing and go on through. We're at the end of the show here. We have a few minutes left. I want to give each of you a minute to give a minute of some last words that you want to leave with the people that are listening. And then I'm going to close us out. So Prophet Greg, Prophetess Archer, give us, take a minute. You have about 30 seconds apiece and just give an exhortation.
Okay, just one last thing. The thing that comes to my mind, too, is that God, you know how God set aside the Nazarenes? The Nazarenes had specific things that they had to do. With these prophetic calls on our lives, there are specific things that we have to do because we're set aside for God's use. And so I just wanted to leave that with you, that we have to make sure, I'm emphasizing, make sure your life is lining up with the call.
I got so much to add, but I just want, you hit some things in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, how the men of God weren't holding up the hedge. Prophets are called, are called to prayer, should have a strong prayer ministry, should have strong deliverance ministry. But also you talked about timing and season, knowing the times of season. The children of Issachar were men who knew times and seasons. The sons of Issachar. So we, in this time, God is calling for the Shema prophets, those prophets that will hold up the walls and will see things coming afar off so that we can be a warning, so we can sound that trumpet, so we can cry loud and spare not in these last days. Because, brother, we are in the last days. According to Matthew 24, you know, rumors of war, earthquakes in diverse places. So I just beseech you, brethren, take your call serious. Pray, fast, seek the face of the Lord, and understand that ultimately that word prophet actually means spokesman, speaker. So you are the spokesman. You are the speaker for God. So understand, when you take on this title, you're taking on a responsibility that's not just something you can call yourself for. You are a spokesman or a speaker from God, not from around the corner, not from Pookie and Ray Ray. It's from God.
Right.
I just want to leave you with that. And thank you for having us on, brother.
Well, I thank you, Prophetess Archer. I thank you, Prophet Gray. Now, Prophetess Archer does have an intercessory prayer blog talk show for anybody that's listening. She does that on Saturday mornings at what time?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. every Saturday, so you can check her out. I have her on one of my friends list, but she'll be here. I'll post some more information to her to this blog if you want to come back. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you for being here. Now to the audience. I know there are some people out there who are listening to this radio broadcast, and some people out there with a prophetic anointing and a prophetic call. Prophets are, you're going to be a little different. Everybody's not going to be your friend. Everybody's not going to like you, so you just might as well sit that down. Everybody's not going to be your friend. Everybody's not going to like you. There are going to be stages where family is going to be cut from you. Friends are going to be cut from you. Things are going to be turned upside down because God wants to take you to a deeper level. You may even have to leave the place where you are attending, God forbid, because sometimes you can get caught up in ministry or where you're at, and God is trying to take ministry and you feel frustrated or feel like you're not growing. Well, maybe it's time for you to expand your horizons and go somewhere else where you can be trained in the gifting that you feel God has called you to do. So it's all on who are you going to listen to? Are you going to obey the voice of the Lord and bow by faith, or are you going to sit there and just stay bound in religion? These are the last days. God needs his prophets. He needs his apostles, pastors, and his teachers. The Bible also says not many of you should be teachers, knowing this, that there is a greater judgment for those of you who do so. And I paraphrase that, but there's a greater judgment for those of you who claim to be teachers. If you are a prophet or an apostle, inherent in that gift is the ability to teach. You should be a prolific teacher, a great preacher. You should be a dynamic speaker. That should be a part of your ministry regardless. You should be able to touch people's lives and do different things. And lastly, if you're listening, you can go to www.prophetessarcher.com. PCJGministries.com. We try to put things there. I'm trying to get some things from other ministers. I try to put some download there so that you can listen to some different training. But I want to thank you for listening in on tonight. I hope you've been edified. I hope there was something that you can glean from out of this conversation, and we want to bring you more conversations like this. We're going to do more conversations like this. I want to do one that's going to be on School of the Prophets. So I want to do some audio podcasts on the School of the Prophets to bring some more training in. This has been another show of the Strategically Prophetic Blog Show. I want to thank you for listening in. Feel free to call in if I missed your call because we were talking. I apologize. I'll open it up. Open up the chat, but I want to thank you for tuning in. This has been Strategically Prophetic with Prophet C.B. Ward. Thank you. Be blessed and enjoy tonight.